It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change. In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." Responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is. And it's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming.
Hey, good Thursday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. And we're here at this time or any time around the globe, around the clock, as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. And that means a personal revival. That's what happened to me in 1966 when the Holy Spirit said to me, "Son, give me the first hour of your day. I'll change your life." I did, and he did. And so 49 years later, because Gene and I are now today, this week, this month, the month of June, we're celebrating 49 years in the ministry. July the 1st, we'll enter our 50th year, enter the 50th year of ministry. And so I'm so thankful for that June Sunday night, when a prophet by the name of David Wilkerson preached, and God called me to preach after he got through. Then he laid his hands on me, and there was an impartation, a mashach, that happened that night. And I went home and told my wife, Jean. She said, "I'll do it too." So we've been going now for 49 years. So the will, plan, and purpose of God be done in your life. I'm here to declare that you can do what God says you can do. You can go where God says you can go. You can stay where God says you can stay. You can say what God says you can say. You can have what God says you can have. You can be what God says you can be. You can start what God says you can start. And you can finish what God says you can finish. You can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens you. And We have a special guest on today. I'll tell you more about that. But first of all, I want to pray for the Emmanuel AME congregation in Charleston, South Carolina, as they bury their dead this week. And I want us to pray right now for Pastor Clemente Pinckney's memorial service that is tomorrow there in Charleston, South Carolina. And I'm praying that that memorial service tomorrow will be full of peace and hope, and that Jesus will be exalted. Everyone who speaks will share words of comfort and hope and unity. So would you agree with me in prayer right now? Father, we just pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit to be in the midst of that church, Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. Father, I just pray the comfort of the Holy Spirit as they bury their dead this week, and we pray in advance for the service tomorrow, Friday, that is going to be conducted for Pastor Clemente Pinckney. And I just pray that you would anoint whoever ministers in that service tomorrow as the nation looks in. And I pray, Lord, there will be words of unity and peace and hope and comfort, and that you, Lord Jesus, will be exalted in the service. You'll be high and lifted up. We bind all spirits of disunity, hatred, racial strife. And Lord, we know that there is, we know there's strife in this nation. And we pray right now for unity among black and brown and white people in the name of Jesus. And we bind all spirits of hatred and disunity in the name of Jesus. We bind all racial strife. We pray for the family of this young man who was the shooter. And we also pray for him today that he will come to know you, Jesus, as his personal Savior, that every demonic force in his life will be broken in the name of the Lord. He will turn to you in the name of Jesus. And we break the attack on Christianity in America. And we bind the spirit also of fear of people going to the house of God and fear of their lives or fear that they will be identified as a Christian. We just break all of that right now in Jesus' name. And we ask, Lord, that you bless this broadcast in Jesus' name, that you anoint me, your servant. May all that's done today be done for your glory and honor today. And while we're praying, I want us to pray for Cornerstone Ministries in Bangalore, India. And in 1990, I met a man in London from India by the name of A. Stephen, who was discouraged, about to leave the ministry. After a word from the Lord, he went back to Bangalore, India, established an amazing work. As Stephen's spiritual father, I went there and saw with my own eyes the amazing ministry he established in a 20-year period. I was amazed at the beautiful manicured campus with its own water supply. He never borrowed a dime but raised the money by his many travels throughout the world, which included an orphanage, Bible college, ministry center, 24-hour prayer center, training center for women, orphanage, a hospital, and other things. He also purchased a drilling rig to provide fresh water for villagers to come and hear the gospel. After pouring his life into this ministry, an exhausted A. Stevens died a few years ago, went to be with the Lord, leaving the ministry in the hands of his wife, Queenie, who's a faithful woman. And she has written us this urgent request, and we ask you to pray. She said, "Yesterday, I frantically wrote for you to intercede on my behalf. Thank you for standing in the gap." And she continued to say that about 8 o'clock, and that was a couple of days ago, when our co-worker John was opening up the Cornerstone campus, hundreds of men in trucks descended on our Cornerstone property. These men were from the from a certain party, and they're anti-Christian, fanatical extremist Hindu group. And they were there to grab our property, she said, and shut us down. They brought construction, digging machinery, and demolition machinery. They claim this property now belongs to them. She said, soon John informed me, that is the assistant there. She said her son and her were there along with many from their church. While the brothers and Sam's held fort, she said, I, along with another brother in the Lord, was running from pillar to post to get some law and order officials to look at my problem. Our sisters and children, both from the children's home and church kids, all sat blocking them from moving forward. This went on until they finally left in the evening. For now, we're all staying at the campus. Worship will be held there, and they will spend the night. The men will keep vigil through the night. Pray that we'll be able to procure a stay order from the court to prevent these men from grabbing our ministry headquarters. And keep me and my son in your prayers as we face physical harm. You know, this is quite unbelievable what can happen. In, because it's we're in unfamiliar territory with this in America. But in India, they're facing major problems, major strife. So, Father, we just lift up Queenie Stephen and the ministry of Cornerstone Ministry, a viable, credible ministry in Bangalore, India. We've been there to see it ourselves, and we pray for our spiritual daughter, Queenie Stephen, and her workers there, that you will protect them. We ask God that you assign guardian angels to encamp around about them throughout this day and night morning. God, we ask for your help in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, set a guard around this campus. Many churches have sown into this ministry. Our spiritual son, A. Stephen, poured his life into this ministry. And we pray your hedge of protection will not be torn down. It will not be demolished. But the ministry there will continue on in Jesus' name. And thank you for agreeing with me today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, today, this week, I'm actually recognizing some people that have helped me along the way in ministry, and I'm playing some of their interviews. And I just want to say thank you to so many men that have worked with me and helped me along the way. And I'm just making a note of some people that have helped me so much, and I'm so very thankful and grateful for. And I know that when you start naming names, that you are going to you're going to leave somebody out. So I run a major risk of leaving people out. I do want to thank those of you that pray with me, those of you that receive here on BPN Radio, and those of you that receive a daily email from me as you go to Let's Pray America and sign up. Thousands of receive that every day. And I want to thank my partners, those of you that help support this ministry, because everybody must have partners. Even Jesus had partners and people that will support you on a regular basis. And if you're not, I would so appreciate you partnering with me on a monthly basis. You can do that by going to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com. And as you do, there is a donate button there at the bottom of the page, and you can donate through PayPal, credit card, debit card. And if you want to send a check, you can do that. You can make your check out to Breakout Prayer Network. Breakout Prayer Network, P.O. Box 91985. That's P.O. Box 91985. 785, Austin, Texas, 78709. Austin, Texas, 78709. Your gifts are tax deductible. And I just want to say thank you for supporting this ministry, for partnering with this ministry as we enter our ninth month of praying around the clock, 24/7, every day, all day and night. And so thank you so very, very much. And we are eternally grateful. And I just want to say that I'm very grateful, very thankful for the man that produces this broadcast. I could have never, ever done it without him. His name is Michael Sean Bourne, and he lives in England, and he's been my friend for a long time. And I just want to say to Michael, thank you for producing these broadcasts. Sometimes in the middle of the night, he has to make some corrections or what have you. He helped me set up the broadcast studio here in Austin. And in just a few moments, I'm going to have an interview with Michael Sean Bourne. I think you will enjoy that. But first of all, before I do that, I want to say thank you to some men that have helped me along the way. I'll do this again tomorrow, but I want to thank men that have made a difference in my life, including, of course, my prayer partners you hear today, and also those of you that support us financially. I'm also thankful to my father, O.C. Gentry, my spiritual father, B.B. Hankins, and my pastor when I was called to preach, Carl Alcorn. All three of these men, of course, have gone to be with the Lord. I want to thank Mike Hankins, Mark Hankins, Carl Turner, E.R. Anderson, who gave me my preaching credentials, and C.H. Hyatt, John Hoker. I want to thank Eddie Hyatt, Kernchote, who gave me my first invitation to preach, and John Hoker, who gave me my first revival. Also want to thank Charles Greenaway, Marvin Gorman, my pastor right now, Bob Nichols, and my spiritual adopted brother, Tom Peters, Nigel McNeil, Larry Lee, who helped me get started 30 years ago across the land. I was going to have him on this week, but he's had some dental surgery, and he'll be on with us a little later time. David Briggs, Tony Miller, Garnet Pike, Bill Hart, Don Couch, John Ogle, Bob Schaefer, Jesse Simmons, Dale Jennings, David Moore, John Gifford, H.H. Woods, Leroy Woods, Jeff Kinney, David Shibley, Art Evans, Ron Dryden, Gene Frank, David Remedios, Norman Barnes, Rex Johnson, Bob Wilhite, Easy Jones, Don LeBro, Savelle Phillips, Cedric Van Dane, Jim Wagey, Keith Johnson, Billy Epperhart, Billy Burns, Bill Shannon, R.T. Kendall, Gerald Coates, Gary Smith, Larry Hatfield. And also want to thank some other men, Tom Autry, Henry Malone. I want to thank Gerald Davis, Joe Tom White, Tim Story, Don Clowers. And I want to thank Godfrey Bertle, who has traveled many times with me. And speaking of Godfrey Bertle, he's going to sing right now, Blessed Are Those. And while he's doing that, you might make a list of somebody that's been a tremendous blessing to your life. You might just want to say thank you. And of course, you're going to risk the danger of leaving somebody out. But I want to thank everybody that's helped me along the way. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll have an interview with Michael Sean Bourne. First of all, here's Godfrey Bertle. Thank you.
blessed are the people who know that God is good. Blessed are the people who know that God is good. Who know the joy of forgiveness, all of our sins washed away. Hear the sound of the gospel is still breaking the chains. Blessed are the people who know that God is good. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, can you hear it? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Hear the sound of creation. See the seasons, how they change. The sustainer of all life is breathing hope in our hearts once again.
Well, it's a delight to have here on BPN Radio the producer of BPN Radio, Michael Schonborn, is on with us today on the telephone all the way from the United Kingdom, all the way from England. And I'm very grateful to Michael for producing this broadcast, because without him, we could not have BPN Radio. He's worked with me day to day, and it's been a tremendous blessing. So, Michael, it's good to have you on today.
Yeah, thank you for the introduction. It's good to be on BPN Radio.
And you have been with me from the very start. In fact, you were our very first guest when we started. But here we are now several weeks down the road, and I know that a lot of people have been listening to BPN Radio. A lot of people have been blessed, they tell me. And thanks to you for helping me get everything up and running, for putting helping me put this radio station in here in Austin, Texas. And tell us a little bit about yourself, about your background. We're going to talk a little bit about you today, and we're going to talk about internet radio, satellite radio, and just give me a little bit about your background.
I mean, first of all, it's a privilege. It's been a real pleasure getting involved with BPN Radio. My background is my radio background, should I say, goes back about maybe 20 years, a really long time. I became a Christian when I was 16, so I was very young, and there weren't really a lot of Christian outlets. So back in Germany, there wasn't any Christian television, and the only thing we could get on the Christian media was on AM radio at 10 o'clock at night for a couple of hours, and there were some German language programs and some English language programs. And so in the very early days, I... being a Christian, I learned a lot about the Bible from radio broadcasts, from ministries, also a lot of ministries from the States, from the United Kingdom, and some from Germany as well. And so I felt at that time, slowly, a call of God in my life to go into this area, which at the time was just totally crazy, because nobody really There wasn't anything like private radio in Germany or in Europe like you have it in the States. There wasn't any prospect of the governments letting go of control of the public media, and that's way back in the 80s, in the early 80s. And then slowly, over time, things were more liberalized, and suddenly it was possible to get involved in radio and also in Christian radio. In about the late 90s, I was approached. I mean, I prepared sort of my life, went around radio technology, having felt this call. So I studied electronics engineering. Sort of got quite involved in radio engineering and things like that. I became a lecturer and started teaching on these technologies. My whole life sort of went into this area of facilitating, you know, the word of God via the airwaves, or, you know, remotely via radio in whatever form it is. Then in the late 90s, I was approached by a friend, by a colleague of mine at work. He was also a lecturer, or I think over there in America, you call him a professor. He was a professor. And he wanted me to get involved with a radio project with his brother, who was back in Uganda. And it was just for a secular radio station. I thought, oh dear, no, I don't want to do this secular radio station. And I was praying about it, and I felt, you know, it doesn't really matter, even if, you know, as long as the gospel gets preached on this platform, and even if it's just one soul, you know, that's getting saved, it's worthwhile the effort. So I started talking with this guy, we started negotiating, and we hit some sort of deal that I would get access to X amount of airtime. It's about officially up to 50% of the airtime. Realistically, it only went up to about 10% to 20%. And I could broadcast my stuff on the radio station. And then, you know, it started off, yeah, started off. And then early 2000, sort of I built the transmitters, you know, put everything together, sent it over there. And it was like a radio station maybe costing several thousand, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 commercially. Was put together on a shoestring budget for possibly about maybe $1,000, $2,000 by making everything oneself, yeah, by putting everything together oneself. So the stuff was shipped over, the radio station started. My expectation was it might last half a year, maybe a year, and then the whole thing would just fall to bits. And it turned out it lasted about 6 years, and it got bigger and better. And we could cover an area in northern Uganda, in Gulu, which at the time was in a situation of civil war. And the government had pulled out with their broadcasting facilities, and for about a year to 2 years, the radio station was the only outlet for the people in the area. So so that was quite humbling to see that suddenly, you know, a crazy idea turn out into, you know, a tool which would reach a huge amount of people for the gospel.
Wow. And where were you broadcasting from?
That was in Gulu, Uganda. Yeah.
So you were there physically, or
no?
By satellite.
I sent the equipment over there, and okay. We got a lot of ministries involved through through an organization in the States, and they had about 10, 15 ministries who were interested to broadcast in the area, and then I did a few broadcasts myself, and they were shipped here on tape. And then they were all turned into into MP3s and placed onto a CD. And then they were shipped out to Gulu, to Uganda. And so the materials arrived maybe 2 or 3 weeks later. And then they were all aired with, I don't know, sort of 3 or 4 weeks delay from the day they were produced. Yeah. Okay. What I found out as well is whenever they were struggling to fill the air, they just put repeats on. So these programs were played many times. It's bizarre stuff happening as well. Like schools, they were teaching English, and the teachers, I don't know whether they were lazy or very, you know, really tuned into this sort of thing, into the gospel, but they found it very easy to just turn on the radio and let the kids listen to English broadcasts.
Wow.
Yeah, and so obviously these broadcasts were from ministries just proclaiming the gospel, preaching the gospel.
And you were doing all of that long distance, right?
long distance. Yeah. Later, when we started building up the radio station, every free opportunity I had, like holidays from work, I went out there to Uganda, and has sort of started improving the transmitter, improving the radio station. We went from a 30 watt transmitter, which is really low, but it had a decent coverage due to a really good antenna system, up to about a kilowatt, a 1,000 watt transmitter. Yeah. And then we had a better coverage, and things were a lot better. So, I mean, it was kind of exciting. Obviously, lots of problems as well. There were power cuts. Uh-huh. It's like bizarre stories of either the rebels were cutting the power lines and to create havoc.
Yeah.
Or sometimes just an elephant ran past the power pole and knocked it down, and they had to get some engineers out in the wilderness to put the power back on.
I understand. I've ministered in Africa. So that was the beginning of your radio experience. But how did you progress into the satellite internet radio? How did that happen?
Okay. the satellite radio in 2000, I think it was 2006, when there were loads of problems. Yeah. One big problem was that by the time there were a lot of other private radio stations, the area was a bit more stable. I remember sort of the first times going to Gulu, that you crossed the River Nile, and then it was pretty much rebel territory. The government army was there, but the rebels, they were just hiding somewhere in the bush. And one thing they would do is they would just ambush normal buses, you know, like coaches. So you were sitting on a bus, on an autobus, and once you crossed the Nile, it got really quiet on the bus, and the atmosphere got really, really tense, and it was maybe a 20-mile trip to Gulu from the river, from the crossing point. And people just didn't know, you know. You heard stories every couple of days an autobus, like a coach, got ambushed.
Right.
And so it was quite serious. And a lot of people, they didn't dare to go there. So I thought, yeah, good, you know, Christians come along. They they take risks, you know, and we set something up at that time to really serve the people in that area, give them access to information, and also preach the gospel to them. And also, I mean, life is really hard there. And so with entertainment and music and stuff like that, it eases maybe a little bit of the hardship people have. And but anyway, towards 2005, 2006, the situation relaxed a little bit. The rebels went into Sudan and or Congo, and there weren't that many attacks at that time.
Uh-huh.
And what happened at the same time, unfortunately, I mean, it's a good thing that the rebels went away, but a lot of businesses moved into the area, including a lot more radio stations. Suddenly there were about, I think, four or five radio stations with huge money, foreign investment, and big setups. And then suddenly the money from the NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, which we needed to keep the thing running, went to the other radio stations. So the whole thing just imploded on itself. So we didn't have the money to make the investment which we needed to do, you know, keep the thing going. So it just went down the hill financially, and we couldn't keep it up. So in 2006, I pulled out. I mean, the radio station was finished at that time. So we had a good run. We had a run of about 6 years yeah, keeping it going, and it was interesting as well. It was 6 years, and then for 1 year I didn't do much, but I did some research to see what, you know, would be possible. And one idea was to set up small transmitters all over Africa and to feed them from a satellite outlet. And we were sort of looking into this idea, and then we thought, why not, you know, do satellite radio? And we gave it a go. So we set up a small satellite radio station. We went on Eurobird 9 at the time. It was called, I think today's Eutelsat 9A or something. And we covered on that satellite all of Europe, North Africa, most of Russia, all the way, you know, the Middle East as well, all the way to Pakistan.
Wow.
But obviously the people have to have a dish. Yeah, the dish has to be pointing to the satellite. So that means there has to be something on the satellite which is of interest to them. So it's not quite as, you know, bombastic as what it sounds like. So I'm not sure. The listenership, I think, is probably the same as a small community radio station. But what
you are a pioneer, Michael. And so, it's amazing how all of this started. How did you learn about satellite radio?
I spent about a year I knew satellite radio was done. Yeah, we in the UK, we have satellite radio on the Astra satellite, which brings most of the television to the UK. And most dishes are tuned into that. So it's a different satellite. And I was sort of trying to, it took me about a year to do the research, to get to know the people from the different satellite companies, to know how much it costs and to get a low price to be able to go on there, something which is feasible and affordable. And roughly about a year to get all the information together. And then I signed the contract and then I had access to the satellite and the way it was done is it was really bizarre. There was a server in London, which was the playout server, so material on a server. Uh-huh. That one was in London. That one went to another place in London. From there, it went to Israel and somewhere, not far from Jerusalem, somewhere between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. It was beamed up to the satellite, and then it went down from the satellite to that area.
Now we can tell, Michael, that you are a very detailed man, and that's, of course, one of your extraordinary giftings is you are a man of details, and you're giving us the details today of how it all began. And it's very interesting because I know that you've done a lot of research, and then you get on satellite radio, which most people did not know about, I'm sure, at that point. Now we've only had satellite radio in America for just a very few years. And so, but you were doing satellite radio way back in 2006, 9 years ago. And so I know that you had to be a forerunner. And
it was 2007 when it started, yeah.
2000 and what?
2007 when it started. Okay. So 2006 I started with the research and then about a year.
And then you started. You put in your own radio station?
Yeah. I mean, it was called Radio Eden. So it then grew to more satellites. The next one was Intelsat 10 at the time. Later it was called, I think, the name changed. When the satellites, when they get old and obsolete, they put another one up and it gives the satellite a different name, but it's in the same position. Everything is in the same frequencies and everything. Intelsat was an interesting satellite. It covered all of Africa and went all the way to Japan. And India as well, China, all of China, India, Australia, bits of Australia. So that covered, at that point, all of the world was covered apart from America.
And on the satellite radio that you were doing, then you were broadcasting, you were sharing the gospel, and you had other ministers on there?
Of course, yeah. I mean, the whole idea is you get a lot of ministries. The ministries pay a small share. So a ministry could, at the time, how much did I charge? It wasn't very expensive. So for half an hour broadcast would have been about $60, $70, something like that. Uh-huh. Yeah. So considering what you got, it wasn't that expensive for ministries to do that.
How many countries were you reaching at that point? Do you know?
At that point, later, I went on to another satellite called Galaxy, which covered North America and Central America. And the only one that was missing at that stage was South America. There are 220 countries in the world, and I think I was covering about 200. The South American countries.
So you were broadcasting literally around the world. Now, for the people that just joined us, we're talking to Michael Schonborn. He is the producer of BPN Radio and from England. He's been a longtime friend of mine. And so we're just talking about how BPN started, some of the background, and how Michael Schonborn got started, and how all of this led to BPN Radio. And I know that you have a real heart, Michael, to share the gospel around the world. And you did this satellite through satellite radio. And then how did that progress into internet radio?
Just to sort of carry on with the story, the bids were really hefty, you know, having three satellites, and four satellites came as well, which I got for free. And then the whole thing with the recession, when it kicked in, I started losing ministries who couldn't afford the fees. So for them, it would have been like $200-$300 a month or something to be on that system once or about 4 or 5 times a week. And then the whole thing came to an end. When did it come to an end? About a little bit more than a year ago. About a year ago, actually, a little bit less. About a year ago, it was the same thing. It lasted about 6 years, and then and then the finance just didn't come together, and I had to you know, cease operation and close the station down. The internet radio has always been on the side as well. So since the satellite radio started, there was always an internet radio stream, but obviously it wasn't the main focus. But obviously, you know, you try to get people interested in tuning in anywhere. And if you're on the move, that was the other thing, you can't carry a satellite dish with you. And then the idea came to look with these smartphones, you know, when the smartphones came out, and we had the smartphone revolution, to see how we could integrate this. And and the idea was, okay, there are companies like TuneIn.com and others who relay the audio stream to the smartphone. And I thought that's actually quite a good idea, because if we can push the whole smartphone technology a little bit further, then people can listen to you know, niche radio programs anytime, anywhere. The data streaming, or the amount of data which is pushed through, is not that much. It's very, very little as opposed to video. And so it's literally possible, you know, even if you've got a very weak signal on your smartphone, to pick up the signal and listen to you know, Christian audio. And that was really where the move came into internet radio as well. I mean, it's always been there. It's always been used as part of the Radio Eden project. And now I think it becomes much more interesting, because even in Africa, people are now having internet access via their smartphones, and in, you know, the remotest regions of the world, you probably find access to that.
Well, I'm so amazed, you know, of 50 years ago, when I was in radio, you know, I was limited to 500 miles or something like that. Now here on BPN, I can talk and minister and pray with people literally around the world. And I know that we're just getting started. We've got 29 nations that have joined us. But now it's amazing that people can walk around with a smartphone in their hand and be listening and praying with me practically anywhere in the world. It's just, it's actually mind-boggling. And I know that is going to those opportunities are going to increase as we go along.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big threat as well for us, and that is, it's not just the good stuff that's getting on the air and that's blasted out there, but there's also a lot of bad stuff as well. And so I think it's important for Christians to utilize the media which is out there, and some of it is very cheap, and some of it is almost free. You know, there are a lot of blogging sites and YouTube and other facilities which are de facto, you know, free. So as long as we've got the freedom to use them, and I'm not sure how long this freedom is going to last, we should, you know, delve into it, use them.
That's right.
I've got one verse which, for me, I think that radio is more important than TV, and I think the TV Christian ministries, they won't like this, but let me just give you this verse. It's in Romans 10, and it's in 17, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yeah. And so, for me, that's been the radio verse in the Bible. It's by hearing.
That's right.
And by hearing the word of God, that faith comes. And it's not by seeing or by vision or whatever, it's by hearing. And I think there's something very special about hearing. I think messages through the ear go right to the heart in a way. And so that's what's been motivating me all this time, to try and push these technologies as far as I can, and to help people to get on air like yourself.
Yeah. Well, I'm very grateful for that. And, you know, I have been on television before. I used to have a weekly program on national television several years ago. In fact, I was on maybe for 4 or 5 years. But it takes so much money. It takes so much effort to do that. And for people, of course, they have to stop and watch. But like you say, with internet radio, people can walk down the street. They can be driving in their car, just about any place, anywhere. Even if they're in a crowd of people, they could put their earphones in their ears and listen. So it's just amazing, and I'm just kind of blown away, and I'm grateful because you have the expertise to help people. And there may be people that are listening to BPN Radio that have been enjoying the prayer broadcast that you produce here each day and help everything get started going, and critiquing the equipment. And you just have the ability to set up a radio station for anybody that I'm sure that has a high-speed internet connection and is willing to invest a little bit of money, not a lot of money. So I just believe that there are other people, ministers or prayer leaders, whoever it may be, that would like to set up internet radio or would like to be involved some way. How can they reach you, Michael?
I've got a website, which just a moment, my throat.
Take you a drink of water.
Yeah, I got a drink of water, so it's not any better now. I've got a website, which is ChristianDigitalBroadcasting.com.
ChristianDigitalBroadcasting.com, okay.
Yes, there, a lot of things are explained on the website. I'm not sure whether maybe it's too detailed. And then, obviously, another website where I set up a radio station some time ago. What I found is that to attract people, get them interested into the gospel, you have to put some weird stuff up. So you discuss, for example, you were talking about hell recently, or you talk about the return of Christ or the end of the world, and people seem to be really interested. I notice that listener ratings go sky high when you tackle subjects which are a little bit out of the ordinary. Uh-huh. So I set up like a small radio station, internet radio station as well, and it's pretty much just a collection of audio materials covering mm-hmm. these things. And it's at seismicradio.org, and there you can find about five audio channels. There's one in German, one in Russian, one in Arabic.
Wow.
Do
you speak different languages?
I speak a little bit. Obviously, I speak German and English, and I can understand a little bit of Russian. I can speak enough Russian to get by. And what else? When I was in Uganda, I'm not that good anymore because I've been away for too long. I could speak an African dialect as well, a little bit. Yeah. Okay. So it was sometimes weird when I went to a different tribe and I spoke to them in an African language. They didn't understand, and they thought, what is this white guy going on about?
Hey, Michael, you are brilliant. That's all I can say. And I know that you have a heart to help people. I thank you for helping me. Mm-hmm. And so in just a moment, we're going to play some music. But I want you to give your a website one more time,
okay,
and then I want you to say a prayer. I want you to say a prayer, however you want to pray. But this gospel needs to go throughout the nations of the world. Mm-hmm. So I know that we're praying here on BPN Radio. We are praying for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. But I know that there are nations around the world that are joining us and are responding to the different prayers and the different interviews that we're having. So I know that you're a vital part of helping spread the gospel around the world. And you may not claim to be a preacher, but you're definitely a pioneer. You're definitely an engineer, producer, and you're brilliant. And I know that you are a missionary because you want to spread the gospel around the world. And you've been doing this on satellite radio for a long time. Where in America, we've only had satellite radio for just a very few years. So why don't you just say a prayer, however you want to pray. We're okay. Going to close out and play some music here and do some more praying. But you pray right now, however the Holy Spirit wants you to pray.
Okay. I should mention the websites one more time. So it's ChristianDigitalBroadcasting.com, and then the other one is SeismicRadio.org. Seismic, like the earthquake stuff, SeismicRadio.org. Okay, Lord, I want to thank you for this time and for this time with Dale. And I want to thank you for the opportunity we've got in this day and age to reach out to the ends of the world with your gospel and to let everybody know, everybody who is willing to hear that there is hope for them and that there is forgiveness and that there is a way out from condemnation, from not knowing you. And Lord, to enter into a relationship with you. I want to pray at this time for the ministries, the media ministries in America specifically. I want to pray, Father, that you will open up more channels and more outlets and that more voices will be heard in America, you know, preaching your gospel and reaching out, Lord, to all parts of society in America. I pray, Father, for niche broadcasters that they will come out of the holes and that they will come and seek ways to minister and to minister to their communities and to people who normally would never think about you or think about coming close to you. Lord, I want to pray for BPN Radio as well. I want to thank you for the impact this radio station has had so far. And I pray that also Dale's vision for 1,000 prayer centers and for center throughout the United States and worldwide to reach out and to join in prayer for this nation, for America, but also for Europe, Lord, for Asia, and for the continents of this world, Lord, that we can reach out with your word, that your word will be heard anywhere. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. Sean Bourne for being on today, producer of BPN Radio. And I'm just believing that this is expanding, enlarging, and I don't know exactly how all it's going to happen, but I believe it's going to happen. I believe others are going to join us, and okay. There's going to be an expansion. Thank you for working with me, and thank you for being on the broadcast today.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
But I trust you enjoyed the interview there with Michael Sean Bourne. Thank you, Michael, for blessing BPN Radio with all that you do. And I want to thank everyone on our team that helps make this possible. And we're so grateful. Ruth Gentry and Linda Meeks and Cheryl Ortiz, Evelyn Gastelum, and Arena Capisco, and Aliona, and all of the others that helped make this broadcast possible, including our announcer, Tom Dooley, and our theme song by Leland, and, of course, special music by Todd Mooring and Courtney Vandevert Piera and Tom Autry and others. Wow. I'm thankful that I have a team working with me. So thankful for each of you. And this week we're honoring people that have helped us along the way. You must understand that no one is an island to himself or herself. So you need to just take some time, if you will, and say to someone, thank you, thank you, thank you for helping me along the way. And that would be fantastic if you would do that. So I'm grateful, thankful for those that have sown into my life. I'll talk more about that tomorrow on BPN Radio. So delighted to have you as a part of BPN. We're believing God for 1,000 prayer leaders. And I'm going to ask those of you that are prayer leaders, I'm going to ask those of you that would like to lead a prayer group, if you will, to go to bpnradio.com. That's bpnradio.com and register. And then we will list you as a prayer leader and we will be praying for you. I will send out weekly prayer requests. I'm also going to start having a ministry time just for the prayer leaders to encourage them and strengthen them. And so if you'd like to have a prayer group, you can start one, and you can start one in your neighborhood, a neighborhood prayer watch would be fantastic, where you call people in your neighborhood to your home or some other geographical location, and you pray together. That would be an awesome thing. And it may be in a funeral home, it may be in a nursing home, and it may be, wow, who knows, where you want to have one in your church. And but if you have one, or you're starting one, then we want to list you in our 1,000 prayer leaders. And I'm so thankful today for those of you that are joining us as a prayer leader all across America, and unafraid, unashamed to list yourself as one. And I just want to recognize some very quickly before we go today. Bill Hart, leading a prayer group at Cathedral of Praise, Austin, Texas. Jill McCray, leading a private prayer group in Kansas City, Missouri. Carrie Greenlee, leading a private prayer group in Waco, Texas. Eric and Aaron Marte, leading a prayer group at Rock Family Worship Center, Parkersburg, West Virginia. Karen Testerman in Concord, New Hampshire, has a private location. Michelle Burnside has a private location in Madisonville, Kentucky. Sonia Schimmel. Sonia has a prayer group at Revolution Church, Port Angeles, Washington. Lisa Weber has a private location in Independence, Kansas. Jackie Thomas, a private location, Bristow, Oklahoma. Lori Wong has a private location in Flemington, New Jersey. Evelyn Gastelum has a private location in Downey, California. Rob Mays has is leading prayer at Radiant Life Church in Cedar Hill, Texas. And Mel Rose has a Facebook prayer group in New Orleans, Louisiana. I want to thank you for being a part, and we have many, many others. Dorothy Garland, leading a private group, Garland, Texas, and Ann Silverthorne, Crawford County Christian Center, Robinson, Illinois, Terry Dando at Cross Church International, Carlsbad, New Mexico. Why don't you sign up? Going to bpnradio.com, and you can register there where it says 1,000 prayer centers, 1,000 prayer leaders. Thank you for being a part of BPN Radio. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time or any time. Remember, Godfrey Bertel and I will be ministering at Cathedral of Praise in Austin, Texas on Sunday. That is Sunday, July the 5th. And I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.